So those who have joined us this afternoon, what we have done today is we have done a very quick bird's eye view of Old Testament history to get our bearings. And then after we had a look at the Old Testament history, we came down a little lower to a special section, and that is the time of Solomon and the dividing of the kingdom of Israel into the north and south. Northern kingdom, southern kingdom. We had a look at what it was to be in the line of the kings, just what it felt to be a king, how God gave a commission. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, God instructed what the kings were to do and what the kings were to be like, just like Prince Charles knows all about royalty. He's got a pretty good idea of what it means to be a king in the House of Windsor, hasn't he? Then if he becomes king, how old is he now? Yes. I mean, they're not going to start teaching him now how to be a king. He knows all about it if he gets the throne. He's been trained. They know the laws. They know the protocol. And so God gave it in Deuteronomy 17. What were some of the things that God said they should do and shouldn't do, please? No, don't rely on horses and military might. Be careful of money. Be careful of sex. And one thing you must do is if you come to the throne, you are to make a copy yourself, a handwritten copy of the law. Get it from the priest, write it out, and read it all the days of your life. If every one of the kings, both in northern Israel and Judah, had done that and obeyed the Lord, we would have had blessing going around the world. Because God said, I've given you a double commission, Israel. You are to be a ministering nation and you are to be a model nation. The nation of Israel is not the church. The congregation of the Lord is in the nation of Israel. But Israel was a nation amongst nations. And one of the things God said in Deuteronomy 4, I'm setting you up so the whole world, all the nations of the world will say, what a wonderful God you have. What wonderful laws you have. And want to be like that. Want to be like that nation. They are to be a model nation. They are also to be a ministering nation. To go forth and take the word of the Lord. I love the closing chapters in the book of Isaiah where we find the Lord takes them all and others in the coming kingdom age. When our Lord Jesus Christ returns and they go out as priests to all the nations of the world. And in Zechariah we find 10 men will hang on to the garment of a Jew and say, we have heard that God is with you. We want to go to Jerusalem. That's the original design. It's coming back. It's coming back. Praise God for those who are witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ today in remote areas. That's what I'm involved in. Involved in missions. Involved in helping others to find Christ around the world. That's why we're here. Even the Jewish part, getting the gospel to them by the grace of God. And now we've come to the point where they have been scattered. The northern kingdom to Assyria, the southern kingdom to the Babylonians. They have been there for 70 years. And now it's time for God to restore them. And we read in the scriptures that only 50,000 came back out of all those 10 tribes and all of those 2 tribes. Of course, some were left in Jerusalem. The poor were left in Jerusalem. As Kevin mentioned, there's always been inhabitants in the city of Jerusalem, Jewish inhabitants, down through all of the ages. But of course, they had no real significance. They were just living there as other people were living there. But now the time has come when God is going to restore them. And they're going to come back, but they're going to come back rather weak. They're going to prove God. They're going to rejoice in His goodness. But they will never ever be the same as they were under Solomon. You see, under Solomon the kingdom divided. And there was anarchy and apostasy and idolatry. And that has continued right down through the ages. So let's have a look at this coming back now to the post-exilic time, returning from the Babylonian captivity at 536 BC, and also we find that there is a rebuilding of the temple at that time. Just a reminder of where we are. This may be difficult for some to see, but those of you who have had the notes will know that we have all these charts included in the notes. So the captivity, or the destruction of Jerusalem and the Babylonian captivity, begins here. And it continues on for this period until 536 BC. We won't go all to the ins and outs of the 70 years here on our diagram. Remember the 10 tribes, they're gone to Assyria and beyond. But now the time has come for them to return as prophesied. And they return under, not the Babylonians, but they return under the Persians. Assyria and Babylon have been the enemies of God and the enemies of God's people. But Persia shows favor. So we read of Cyrus and Darius, or Darius, do we not, in the Bible. They show favor to Israel, and not only Israel, but all other nations that have been taken captive previous. Cyrus is actually called a Mashiach, a Messiah, an anointed one. And he's called the servant of God, Cyrus. He looks favorably on the nation of Israel, and they are able to return under Zerubbabel, one of the great, 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 great grandfathers of the Lord Jesus Christ, yes. That is the promised line of David. But of course, Zerubbabel is not king in Israel. He's only a governor, because they are under the domination now of world powers. That's the nation of Israel for the last 2,500 years. And it's only when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back will they be restored as in the days of old. And then after Zerubbabel, we find about a century later, or the next generation under Ezra and Nehemiah, they are also raised up of God, more return. At this time, Haggai and Zechariah are raised up to help them rebuild the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. It's in ruins. And then under Nehemiah, we find that God stirs them up to build the walls of Jerusalem. And that closes the end of the Old Testament prophecy. So let's have a look at this now. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to read this. Please turn to Ezra chapter 1, the book of Ezra, Kings, Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah. Good, let's read Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. This is now the return, or post-exile, or post-exilic return. That is the return after the Babylonian captivity. No promise of return for the 10 tribes, but it's mainly for the 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. Others trickle from the 10 tribes, but they are not re-established. God doesn't go and re-establish Samaria, brothers and sisters, and bring all the 10 tribes back. They're gone forever. They're not lost, as we said. They're lost to us, but not lost to God. James writes a letter, and when he writes the letter in the New Testament, he addresses it to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Yes. So the 10 tribes aren't England or Germany, and the throne of David is not the throne of Queen Elizabeth there. That's what some people believe, and so on. Yes, so on. Yes. The British Israelite doctrine is reviving again.